Welcome to Modcast, an official podcast of Apolitan Civilization site.
Bouter Snijders,
Ken Ferland, Tony Keel,
Oscar Velisi.
Squeakles! Yeah. Squeakles! Yeah, yep.
Welcome to Modcast, an official production of Polycast. Today, we're joined by Oscar Velzi.
Hola.
Kenneth Ferland.
Greetings.
Wouter Snijders.
Hi.
And me, Tony Keel. We've got a lot to talk about today. Our first episode just got released a little while ago, so we're pretty excited. We even have a little bit for the mailbag today. Yay, mailbag.
The applause roars in. Critical acclaim.
Not everyone who replied was angry. Still only some of them.
Yeah.
Here's what's been making the news in the Sith community.
We are looking for martyrs.
Yes, alright.
And in the news, we desperately call out for martyrs to appear on our show as guests.
Yes, this is definitely true.
Yes, like a normal podcast, we want to have guests on our show, and particularly the martyrs themselves. So anyone who's a martyr, if you made a mod, no matter how small, we would gladly have you appear on the show. Unless there's a more important martyr who wants to be in and play this with you.
And then you must fight to the death.
Yes, or get bumped.
Yes.
Biggest martyr wins, you know?
Yeah. Well, that might be me on some occasions, but we're going to ask. What we want to eventually do is we're going to have questions. And for an interview, don't be afraid if English isn't your first language, because we'll type them to you. But it would be nice if you spoke just a little bit. We look in any kind of mod.
Yeah, it would be nice if they spoke, yeah. Because it would be hard to hear them.
Yeah.
Perhaps some of our foreigners can translate for us.
We'll have a translator. No, we will not have a translator. So don't want to misinterpret that joke. So if you're a modder and you're American, come on the show. If you're not so good on your English, practice your English and come on the show.
Isn't that the same thing?
Yeah. Just imagine a picture of Uncle Sam pointing his finger, wanting you to join the Modcast.
Don't ask what Modcast can do for you.
Or what you can do for the Modcast. All right.
Of course, it's open to CFCers and Apolitoners.
Don't forget Civ United.
I was about to say, yeah. And Civ Uniteders and
Civ what?
Civ Planeters.
Civ Chung Chung.
What else do we have out there? Everyone's welcome.
Yeah, all these other fictitious websites. Yeah. Bring them on.
Realms Beyond.
Ooh. And you have to mod Civ 4 for now. I've already had people ask if I have guests on the show who don't actually mod. And I was kind of like, if you mod Civ 4, or Civ 3, I should say too, but if you mod Civilization, come on. But maybe someday we'll expand. But for now, modding Civ.
I could see us getting really desperate and having people who were just big fans of playing mods. Also.
Well, no, a guy I know who makes movies wanted to come on, and I'm like,
if those movies are in a mod, then sure.
Movies about Civ?
Well, if it's Wonder movies.
No, he does movies.
Movies? Yeah.
Yeah, what fun is that?
Games crush movies.
Oh, man, he's going to listen to this one, and he's going to be mad now. I just lost a friend.
Yeah. Ironically, we have some guys here who are artists who say, oh, I'm only doing games so that I can get into the movie industry.
Awesome.
That doesn't seem like a very smart career choice.
Artist Sketchpad, where we discuss graphics and artwork from the Civ modding community.
Well, today in the Artist Sketchpad, we had the Pierre Trudeau Leaderhead, the Saddam Hussein Leaderhead, and the Villistas unit.
Now, Dan's favorite is Pierre Trudeau, for some reason. I think he has something to do with Canada, therefore is Dan's favorite.
Yeah, he was...
Please explain to me who he is.
He was the famous Prime Minister of Canada.
You know who he looks like in this picture to me? Christopher Walken. Cool.
Yeah.
Does anyone else see that?
That's right.
What's Christopher Walken again? And again, I don't.
He's in everything.
Right off
you
the bat.
Don't know Christopher Walken.
What did he star in?
Wow.
Google him.
Yeah. He lives in a code cave and hides there with his computer and among piles of bones.
I mean, what was Christopher Walken not in?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, well, if he's in so much then why can't you name one?
Pulp Fiction, for one thing.
Here, I'll give you a link. Yeah.
Let's see, it was more. There's the Saturday Night sketch, more cowbell or something like that.
Oh, that was the best. You know, it's great, but I think it just needs more cowbell.
Yeah. Okay, I only know Will Ferrell in that.
Yeah.
Besides that, I've never actually seen the
sketch. Christopher Walken is the music manager.
Okay, didn't see the sketch then.
They even have a link. They have a link on it in the Wikipedia of Christopher Walken.
Okay.
And this Pierre Trudeau could be a Christopher Walken.
Okay, Wikipedia article. Yeah, he does look like the picture in the Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I think who did this? Bernie14. He's been doing a lot of stuff with rigging leader heads, which has been fascinating to watch and develop. I haven't done it yet. It's a little bit time-consuming, but definitely fascinating what he's been doing.
Yes.
And I don't know if any of you know about the rigging.
Not really.
Well, yeah, he slices off a head of something, and then he attaches it. It's like building a Frankenstein monster, to be honest. And then he puts the head on something else and seals it together with the body. Like, he rips off the head with the skeleton.
Well, that sounds cool.
And then he puts the skeleton and the head on a new body. Yeah. That
sounds like necromancy.
Yeah, it's definitely a form of necromancy, but even though it sounds much more visceral and cool when I describe it...
Like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, it more involves like really boring screens and clicking on little tiny 3D models and assigning weird things and vertexes and then poking yourself in the eye with a pencil afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, you describe it like the fatality of Scorpion in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
He takes the head and the spine and...
No, I think you're thinking of the Predator.
Oh, man.
Yeah, too. Predator 2.
Yeah. One of the problems with rigging is there's some clipping of models, like, folding into each other, and sometimes they'll have a weird twitch or something, but it's just because the process involved is very difficult, and I give props to, I believe, Bernie14 and Dutch King, who were some of the first people to help come up with these and put them down on paper. Expect a new round of leader heads just blasting out there with awesome graphics, just like this Pierre Trudeau, a.k.a. Christopher Walken.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
The head has been made completely from scratch, is that it?
No.
It's Alexander's head.
Yeah, I saw that in the thread.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, he did good.
It must have been elongated somehow, because the chin looks quite a bit different.
It's based on Alexander. He really changed it completely.
Yeah, the hairline in the back there, the little crest, it's like, looks nothing like him.
It's really good. I even love he put the rose in the lapel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like that rose.
I wonder if he custom modeled that. It looked like it might be.
Yeah, definitely. It's a model.
He used the more difficult version of reattaching heads. There's another one where you reattach the head to something, but the body really doesn't move other than swivel. He did a full-on rig job, so... Bravo, Bernie14. You need to release a reskin of this called Christopher Walken and have that lead our civilization.
Perhaps my only complaint would be that there is a fine line in the forehead, the texture. Oh, well, you can see the skin is very different from the upper part to the lower part.
Do you mean it's where, like, about his eyebrows are? Just kind of above his eyebrows, where there's, like, a lightness above them?
Yeah.
I think that's where he smudged out the eyebrows of the previous character.
Yeah.
And lowered the eyebrow.
He could definitely work on that.
Yeah, it's something small. He's seen... perhaps he used a photo of the beer.
He might have.
Yeah, because it looks very, very photorealistic.
And then the skin texturing stops about an inch above the eyebrows, I can see. Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. It does look like he used a photo, but He should have used more bits of skin that from other parts of the face to, like, graft more skin on his head. Yeah.
Yeah, blended more, but...
Yeah.
Blended more.
Still, it looks good. His eyes are really red. Looks like he's, like, drunk or trashed.
I noticed that, too. He's got a little bit of red eye, and he has bright blue eye as well, so there's quite a bit of a contrast there.
I'm the Prime Minister of Canada, and I'm drunk.
On maple syrup.
Is that what they drink? Well, ask Dan if he drinks maple syrup.
Oh, okay. I just couldn't resist. Dan will disown me now.
We have Saddam Hussein, a new version of Saddam Hussein, which, as usual, is based on a Stalin leaderhead. It always is. They love those big old Stalin stashes, you know?
Yeah, it is a good model to base him off. You get the mustache and the salutes and the gestures fit reasonably well.
Yeah.
So, no complaint there. But this actually looks more like a reskinning of an older version.
Yeah.
And then there's the addition of the glasses. That's a major plus.
Those glasses are awesome.
Yeah. So, for those of who can't see this, we got the original Saddam Leaderhead. Oh, it's based off I Love Play Civ's Saddam Leaderhead. So it's a redo. This is someone picking up someone else's work and improving it.
Yeah.
So it's grave improving the...
There is one thing lacking, though.
Have you seen those glasses? Those glasses look awesome.
Those glasses are pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got these big old dictator glasses.
Nice gold rims.
Yeah, you can see the old leader head was done by I Love Play Civ is the old person's leader head.
Mm-hmm. And he's got a link there to where it originally was posted.
And I remember he had emailed me while he was making this leader head, Grave was, and he had asked me about the texture for this leader. He's all, well, I'm having trouble with the shirt. And you can see there a little bit that you can see where he was having trouble with the shirt texture of the black shirt. Hello him?
Yes.
Yeah. I told him to use feathered edges. That would help him a little bit. And it did come out a lot better than when he first came to me. Grave, I don't know if you're listening to this, but I'm going to steal those glasses right off his face.
Yeah. He seemed to have taken a sun bath, too. He's way more tan.
Yes, he's definitely...
Yeah.
The old Saddam looks like he's been hiding down in a hole for 3 months and has lost all his color. But the new Saddam has definitely been going to get himself a nice, rich, bronze tan.
I go to the tanning salon.
It also makes, I mean, it makes the highlight on his face poor. It was very blotchy. I mean, like, you look at the old one, it's light right under his eye, and then his hand looks a little too whiter, but this looks a lot more smoothed out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't get the sense that there's a harsh light on one side.
Yeah, definitely. And it looks like he might have reduced a little bit of the specularity, but maybe that's just my imagination. Those glasses, to me, look like heavily modified Gandhi glasses. And they even seem to be slightly transparent as well. Like, I can see a hint of his eyes, but behind them.
Yes, you can see it.
Just a hint.
Okay, maybe it's easier to see when he's actually moving.
Oh, I bet. This one, great leaderhead. We just needed someone to be crazy enough to make an Iran-Iraq war mod. That would be politically volatile.
Wow. He could also be like a modern leader of Babylon, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
To stretch the historical context to the breaking point.
Yeah, totally.
I think Saddam Hussein is not what I would say PC or politically correct for, you know, mods made by Americans. But
no worse than Stalin or Mao, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think so. You'd think so. But then again, Stalin and Mao were pretty bad. They don't have a Hitler, you know?
There are people who disagree with that.
Well, the thing is, Stalin and Mao are popular within the countries they come from.
Yeah.
I think that's...
I don't know. Yeah, study the Cultural Revolution in China.
That's true.
Okay, they're way more popular than Hitler is in his own country. Let's just put it that way.
Okay, yeah. Well, nowadays, Hitler, now you don't talk about him anymore. There is no Hitler.
Why are you saying a Russian accent?
Okay.
That's...
Why do I say everything in a Russian accent?
Yeah, I think he just does that. It's his crazy voice. It's the only voice he can impressionate. So.
Yeah, it's my only impression. We have one more art to look at, and we do have time. How do you say it, Oscar?
I think in Mexican it would be Villista.
Villistas?
Villistas. The Pancho Villa.
Oh, yeah, okay. I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, because in Argentina we say Villistas, but it's something different. No, not different.
The accentation might be slightly different.
Yeah, we pronounce the double L like a sh. So it's Villistas here. Yeah.
Now, what does that mean?
They are the troops of Pancho Villa. Or Pancho Villa.
Oh, really?
So they mean like rebels or outlaws or freedom fighters? Or is that what it literally translates to?
Not exactly. It's like...
It might just be his name.
Yes, it's from the name. They are Villistas from Pancho Villa. Villistas.
Oh, okay.
This looks like what? How do you say Curiosser?
That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's based on a...
Curacia.
Yeah. How do you pronounce those things?
Curacier.
Curacia.
Okay, so he's been done up to have a nice new skin on him. The voice is black. The hat looks a little bit like one of those hats you'd have in World War II. I mean, World War I.
No, but it's more like a Mexican cat.
It's a straw, yeah.
But it's smaller.
Yeah, I think some of the skin looks a little bit anarchistic. Anachronistic, I should say.
We're going to be an accused of communist in CFC. Now we are anarchist.
Oh, gosh. You can definitely see the old Curiosser skin shown up now in this unit, but I can definitely see he seemed to have changed the head quite a bit, and the face.
Yeah.
The face looks really good.
Yeah, the nice mustache.
That's my favorite part.
Well, he's still using the original gun, which is what really gives it off as being a cursor.
You know, he could have just re-equipped it with the cavalry gun.
Well, does he intend for it to be a replacement? Uses a unique unit to replace the cursor? In which case, having that gun kind of helps you tell that it's replacing.
But unfortunately, it's out of period for Pancho Villa because he was, you know, turn of the 19th to 20th century.
Yes.
So you think that would be more appropriate to be a cavalry? Yeah, I see your point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, though they were pretty backwards, so...
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I think the idea is cursors are using flintlocks.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the timepiece that they are. Whereas cavalry is where the point where you would get to repeating rifles.
Yeah.
That's what I see is really the distinction between the two.
And I agree with you totally.
So what did Pancho Villa have? I can't see him still having flintlocks.
I'm pretty sure he had repeating rifles, if not bolt loaders or something.
Yeah, a bolt loader would be closer to cavalry.
Yeah.
And they were still using bolt loaders in World War I.
I'm also really happy to see more stuff going for Mexico.
Well...
I think Mexico's underrepresented in Civ, and I love seeing New Mexico stuff.
There are two Mexican Civs in the game.
Well, yeah, the Aztecs.
Yeah, well, it's the Mayans and the Aztecs, but there's no modern Mexico, which is what a lot of people want to see.
I don't know how many people want to see that, actually.
Well, a lot of Mexicans want to see it.
I'm not going
to
go into it too much, but I created a unique unit thread. What should be a good unique unit? And there are some nasty, nasty people in the forums. And I love Mexico, and I love Mexicans personally, so... That's what I think.
Well, good for you.
I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with having it certainly in a mod, but Mexico as a modern country is no more important than, say, Canada or Australia. I'm not sure those really belong in Civ, but that's just me.
Ooh, he totally dissed Mexico and Canada by comparing them to each other.
Yeah, you're talking crap about me losing viewers, Bowder. Now you just pissed off Dan Quick.
Yeah, I said, it's fine in a mod.
Yeah, you got a point, though. Canada and Mexico don't have very good chances of being released as full-blown civs.
There's a few civs that are missing that are still more important.
Hey, the modders are going to make better units anyways.
Welcome to the Code Corner, where we discuss Python and SDK mods.
Now today in Code Corner, we examine the Zroutes mod and the Dale Civ changer.
Cool. Zroutes looks kind of cool.
Zroutes, as you'll probably guess by the Z in front of it, is made by Zebra9, who puts that Z in front of everything he makes. Okay, so this is a Python-based mod. It's compatible with the OnSword. Download it, and basically what it does is restricts the movement of certain units to roads or railroads. So the unit can only move on, say, a railroad. So you could make, I don't know, a train unit and have it move on a railroad.
Cool.
Or like those big Nazi artillery train guns that they had in World War II.
Oh, yeah, the train guns. that would be so big they had to sit on like two parallel railroad tracks.
Yeah, that's cool.
Didn't they call them like Big Botho or something? Or
I don't remember.
The Siegfried gun or something like this? Yeah.
Big ass gun.
Yes. The German obsession with huge, huge artillery pieces.
And large bombs and other phallic-shaped weapons.
Weapons of war. Okay, so how this is actually done is he used the new feature in Beyond the Sword, the Python callback switcher routine. So you basically have an XML file, you can go back and turn on a particular XML callback system. And
Interesting.
He used the unit cannot move into argument. And he's just basically inserted a segment of code here, which gets whether the unit has the ability for the route type, and then just says, hey, you can't do that if it's a road, say, for example, and you're a railroad-only unit. So,
yeah, I think that's good to see the mods coming out with that callback, because I remember that was a big deal back in Beyond the Sword development.
Yeah, for you, everyone who remembers it, like, this was originally had a Kale mod who did it for Warlords, and then it got incorporated in Beyond the Sword in a more sophisticated version. Mm. Kale just knocked out all of the Python to create the speed mod, as he called it, which just cut out all the Python callbacks and made you loop only within the DLL, which like doubles the speed of the game. Whereas this, you have the ability to selectively turn those callbacks back on. They're off by default, and then you can run a little mod like this using just the callback call in you want, and you get like still most of the speed, but still the mod you want.
Which is nice, which is just more flexibility.
Yeah, now he uses a config-based parsing to get the data out of the unit as to what it's going to be restricted to. Now, I'm not a big fan of the config parser thing because it just adds a whole new type of file and whatnot, yada, yada, yada. I'm more in favor of putting this in as an XML feature and doing things.
XML tag, totally.
Yeah, and doing it right through the DLL, which could be done. But if you don't want to mess with the DLL.
Yeah, or do it just directly in the Python.
Yeah, I mean, Python gives you a little bit easier in the sense that you can plug the Python piece in without modifying the DLL.
This is a Python-only mod. I mean, I imagine a lot of people either aren't very good at C++ or don't have the necessary equipment or software, rather.
Or don't have code slaves.
You know, everything is done in C++ if possible. That's, you know, the preference because it's faster. And Python's good for mocking up something. I mean, for, you know, like making a quick version and seeing if it plays well, something like that.
Well, it seems like Zebra does a lot of Python stuff.
Yeah. I think generally if you can do something in Python, that would a lot of time be preferable because it's just a lot easier to code. There's a lot less debugging to do. You don't have to worry about memory management. It's just, yeah, if it's something that's going to take up a lot of system resources because it's just very slow, yeah, then you want to move it to C++. But I think in general, a lot of stuff that modders now do in C++ could just as easily be done in Python without a real performance hit. So I actually think you may want to think about, you know, the real performance gain that you're going to get from Python. And if it's big, obviously you want to do it in a C++. If it doesn't make a whole lot of difference, you know, by all means do it in Python. It saves you a crap lot of time, I can tell you that.
True, true. But I mean, once you get good enough in C++, I mean, I find some things are just as easy to implement in C++.
If you're better in one language than the other, then obviously that's the language you're going to prefer. But I think if you're good in both languages, then I think Python development is a lot quicker. Well, a lot quicker, it's quicker. And how much it saves, you know, depends on just how good you are, because I don't know that you can be extremely good at two languages at the same time. Yeah. Well, two languages is pretty much the limit. If it happened to be that it's C++ and Python, which are both very intricate languages with a lot of subtleties to them.
Yeah, but programming is programming. I mean, like, if you're a programmer and you know the basic concepts, you can apply yourself to any language.
Yeah, that's if you know a language. But I mean, if you're really, really good at something, you can be really, really good at at Python and do really efficient stuff with it that, I mean, I probably couldn't do, you probably couldn't do. You really have to work with it for years and years. And C++ is even worse in that respect. I mean, you can give me absolutely any language and I can program in it if you give me an hour or two with a tutorial. But to really know it through and through is a different story.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can see that. So I make something, you know, like Sing, you know.
Yeah, precisely.
If you know Python like crazy good, you actually end up working for Google. Because they use a lot of Python, from what I hear.
Yep.
They've, like, sucked up all the best Python people.
They have sucked them up and ate them.
Not just Google, but yeah, they are one of the most, one of the biggest companies probably that work with Python a lot.
do we have here? It is called the Civ Changer.
Yes, Civ Changer by our good friend Dale.
Another Dale mod. Yet again, yeah. This guy is prolific, and we love our Dale.
Yep.
We might want to point out that discussion we had in episode 1 was for the very first version of his combat mod. And I think the very next day after we talked about it, he released a major update.
Yeah.
And a couple of days later, he released another major update.
So everything we said is already obsolete.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Pretty much.
And people think we're not going to have enough content for this show.
Yeah. I mean, I think his mod is so big, maybe we should do a modding spotlight on that someday and have Dale on to talk about it.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, we'll have to have him on.
So we're not going to talk about all the details of the updates he did right now. But one thing we do have on our agenda is indeed the Civ Changer.
Now, does anyone know what and why the Civ Changer was made for?
To change civs?
Yeah, no.
It allows you to change civ in the middle of the game, so you can go from you to your next-door neighbor who's winning a war, and you can take over his civ. But why was this invented? I will tell you. If you play Beyond the Sword Road to War mod that came with Beyond the Sword, you will notice that there are some civs that just don't get into the war, or that just get creamed really early on, like Poland gets creamed, and Spain doesn't really even play in the war that much.
Or those darn neutral Swiss.
Dale made Civ Changers, so if you're playing Poland, you can switch to Germany because you're getting wasted. Or if you're playing Spain, you can switch to England because there's nothing to do in his accurate history version. So that's the reason why Civ Changer was made way back when. But now it's just cool and fun.
This reminds me of something I would do in playing Smack. It was called like the ultimate switch or challenge game. You would start a game, pick a civ at random, play them until they were the number one in score. And then you had to immediately open up the manager and you could switch and play a different team. And you had to pick the one that was the lowest. And you played them until they were highest in score. And then immediately switch to the lowest again. And you had to do this every time in the game. You know, as soon as you hit the top, bam, go back to the bottom. Because, like, you would outperform the AI so easily in Smack, you know, building and such. You could actually do this several times in a game. Keep, you know, going from, okay, Zarkov's the bottom, now I switch to Miriam. Okay, now Miriam's ahead of Tech, you know, the Zarkov, you know. Okay, now I'm Dietrich, you know.
Well, I'd say you could do this with Civ 4, but the Civ 4 AI Beyond the Sword is nasty.
Yeah, I mean, once you'd gotten yourself up to number one with one Civ, and to take the bottom, you'd never win it again. You'd never be able to come back from that, because the AI can hold its own.
The AI would eat you for a sandwich and be like, I will have your Civ between two slices of bread.
Again with the Russian accent.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it sounded pretty Italian all.
Okay, maybe if it was ripe.
I'm working. I'm going to try to get new accents, okay? Thanks for helping with me, though. Accent support group.
I think I already have an idea where the title of the show is going.
This also allows you to configure how many changes are allowed per game. Well, you can turn the whole thing on and off for a first thing. It's a buoy. And then you can do changer mode, which allows you to change between allies, any civ you have contact with, and any civ on the same continent as options, or just anyone in general. So you can limit what your choices are for switching. And then you can limit how many times you can switch. Those are all configurable options.
That's awesome. I love how Dale always adds a little bit extra to everything he makes for modders.
Yeah. Now, personally, I don't really see the point, since this is just something you would mostly do for fun anyway, so I would not be seeing why I would limit myself to making changes that are just, you know, for fun anyway, but it, you know, it's mod.
It's good.
Well, just imagine a mod that required you to have several teams that you had to switch between during the game, and that was part of the premise of the mod. That would be a good way for modders to use this.
Yeah, I think Road to War is a perfect example. I mean, it allows you to play with Poland first, and you're inevitably gonna lose, and then switch to England and try to take back Poland's territory or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine scenarios in which you want to allow certain Civ changes, but not others.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Personally, I think this is mostly going to be interesting for debugging stuff. I mean, it's really helpful if you can switch between Civs when you're testing a mod or testing a scenario or something like that. I'm not sure that I would change civs a lot in a regular game.
Modding Spotlight, where we discuss and examine a particular mod out of the Civ 4 community. Today in the Modder Spotlight, we talk about the Beyond the Sword content mod, Defense. Has any of you guys played this mod?
Yes. Yes.
Actually, no, not me.
I do. Yeah.
But I did play lots of the old StarCraft versions of it.
Yeah. I would say you didn't miss much, but then again, other people, they say it's not so bad, you know?
No, it's pretty cool, actually. At least for one playthrough. It's only one map.
Well, maybe multiplayer might be interesting, too. I don't know if he added multiplayer to it. Basically, Beyond the Sword Defense is very much like the old school maps made for online games where you sit there and just thousands of monsters come and attack you and you just gotta lay waste. There's no plot, there's no strategy, it's just lay waste to monsters.
Well, there is some strategy.
Actually. Yeah, there is some strategy.
There are different, yeah.
There's no one to talk to.
The strategy is to destroy the monsters as efficiently as possible.
That's true.
Exactly.
Besides, there is the timer for each turn, so you have to be very efficient.
As quickly and efficiently as possible.
It gives a nice feeling of being under attack from all fronts. You don't have all the time in the world to plan a defense. It's almost like Starship Troopers.
Mm-hmm, for StarCraft.
The scene in the desert where they have the fort and all the bugs coming from everywhere, and it gives a little of that feeling.
They're coming up from underground!
Yeah, it reminds me of the Starship Troopers mod for StarCraft, actually, very specifically. But basically, the mod starts, and the intro screen looks kind of cool with, like, a castle and then a giant tank. And then when you start the game, you're given a few buy units using the in-game unit assets editor, which I believe is more commonly known as Advanced Start. But
yeah,
you pop down units using the cost ratio system, and I think you get a couple more units every turn.
You place first a city, and one, you can buy units, and then you're awarded gold by how many of the city survived. For example, if you have one city, you receive 200 gold for the next round. You have two cities, it's 200 per city that survived the round.
Oh.
And you can also get gold from goodie hats that appear on the map. Oh, well, you have to find them. But you neglect on your defense and on the time.
I remember that you would start and the first monster might be some wolves. Like, you'll see a lot of, you know, monsters that don't normally get used, and then you'll have just one round with nothing but samurais running at you, and it just progresses down all the units of Civ as the levels progress.
Until you're taking a big tank blitzkrieg.
Yeah, well, you don't start with tanks. You start with, a weak ancient era unit, and then...
No, I mean, you're defending against tanks.
Oh, I hope not with the sword, though.
Yeah, but a lot of the strategy comes in the sense of where do you place your cities, and there's only a handful of units that you can defend with, and they all are very strong, do different things. One is very good in mountains, or hills, rather. One is very good in forest. So which units to buy and where to position them on the map and that sort of thing. There's quite a bit of maybe it's more tactics than strategy.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely a fair bit of tactics involved. And it's a lot of fun to play. At least I enjoyed it quite a bit. But yeah, it's not the sort of thing that you play over and over and over. You play it once, maybe twice. But frankly, that's true for most scenarios. Yeah.
And that's it.
You know, one thing that should be mentioned is he added a function to Civ where if you stack units into the city, like you would think, I'll just put, 10 units in the city and I'll defend against everything, but the total defense goes down the more units you have stacked.
Yeah.
So if you have one or two units, they're maximum abilities, but if you have like 5 or 10 units,
they all just start getting wasted. So you actually have to clump your units because stacking them reduces them.
Yeah, that's another element that adds quite a
bit. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I'm not sure you would actually spread them out. And what I would usually do is concentrate my units on some choke points and to change them around. Just let one heal and then have another one take up the position at the choke point and stop as many units as possible.
Yep.
Yeah. Perhaps it would have been nice to have different maps. For example, one where you have to defend, you must defend from two sides, for example, because now you start on one side and they are coming from right to left, and perhaps it would have been nice to have a map where you start in the middle and you have attacks from both sides, things like that.
Or better yet, a map script to get some random generated maps. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be hard to do, though, I think, because the design of the map is very, very important for things like this.
Some would be more advantageous, yeah.
You could indeed very easily expand on this. I mean, it kind of reminds me of Desktop Tower Defense. I don't know if you guys have played that. I mean, that's all with its static buildings. Desktop Tower Defense.
Okay. Which one?
No? Ooh, you absolutely have to try it. You're going to hate me for it because you're not going to do anything else for at least a few weeks. But Google it. It's an online flash game. You'll absolutely love it if you love Civ.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it reminded me of Desktop Tower Defense, and that, I mean, it's one map, but you can have a lot of variation. You could easily add more maps in, and like Oscar points out, be attacked from different directions. I mean, you could be attacked from two directions, from four directions. There's a lot of variation that you can do.
No, that it reminded me Advanced Wars, the DS game. Well, it's a tactics game with similar approach.
Tony, you didn't like this scenario?
Well, you know, I just thought replay value was low, and I had a little trouble at first grasping the tactics involved with actually the defense reduction system, and that made it tough for me. But I do think there were some good sides to this game, and I have to say, you guys made me definitely see that this is not one of the worst Beyond the Swords mods. Afterworld still is the worst. So, yeah, play Defense.
Okay.
It's on your computer already, SimFence.
Yeah, there's one other thing that I think maybe could be still be improved about this scenario. I think it's really annoying that there's really no way every time a new round starts, you have to re-explore the map to find all the goodie huts. But there's no way to see what part you already explored and what not. So it'd be kind of nice if there was sort of maybe an intermediary level of Fog of War or something like that to indicate, hey, you've been here this round, you've not been here this round, something like that.
Oh.
Can't they just do the same thing that happens whenever your unit is not currently viewing an area? You know, it goes to the dark gray, but not black?
Yeah, it goes to sort of the grayish, not completely black. But the problem is, that's what the entire map looks like. And if I've explored, I sometimes can't remember, have I explored this corner this round or not? Because you have to re-explore it every round to see if a goodie hut is there. It'd be nice to indicate, hey, you've already been here this round. Don't bother to go here again looking for goodie huts.
So it would actually be better if it came all the way back to being black again?
Yeah.
That might work, but like I said, that you have to know what the map looks like. Because, you know, positioning your units and that sort of stuff is quite important. So if you make the map completely black, that kind of makes it very hard to determine your strategy. And so yeah, you sort of need an intermediary level of Fog of War to something in between sort of the grayish and the completely black. Between the grayish and the normal sort of visible terrain.
Yeah, well, I always called the gray the Fog of War. And then the black is just...
Yeah, exactly.
The unknown.
Yeah.
Yeah. The unknown, yeah.
Well, you know, modders, if you're listening, this defense scenario gives you a good base to build a lot of those old-school style defending scenarios like Starship Troopers and all that stuff. So definitely think about working on it.
We just need to mod all the units into giant alien bug things. That'd be a nice project for one of our artists. Giant alien bugs.
I'm sure we have quite a few of those already.
Actually, I can't remember seeing any.
We'll look for one for next show.
It would be hard to bone a whole thing like that and then to animate it. That would be the big challenge.
Wouldn't be hard for you to bone it, Ken.
Thanks, Tony. I think our rating just dropped, you know, a went from PG to PG-13 there?
Oh, well, PG-13, we can swing.
Greetings from the mailbag, where we address listener questions and comments.
The mailbag is the segment where listeners can respond to what they think when listening to the modcast.
So, what kind of feedback do we get?
All the feedback we're getting today is coming from forum threads at Apolitan and Civ Fanatics, where the first episode was announced.
So far, so good, the comments.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so far a lot of positive reactions. It's kind of a pity you were kind of delayed with releasing the episode, and we're taping the same week that we're releasing, so not much time to gather feedback.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe for future episode that actually release, normally we would have released on late on Friday in the US, and maybe releasing it early on Friday, so we have a bit more time to actually respond to feedback in the future.
Yeah, totally.
But in this case, yeah.
Yeah.
Reactions that we got, I think. And they were pretty much all positive.
Dr. Spike says at Apolitan, it's clear that the first few shows can cover valuable ground, like the best mods, a look at tweaking settings from the expert, upcoming plans, etc. But if the show is to continue on equal footing to Polycast, then it needs ongoing material. And that's totally true. And I think that it's not going to be us to come up with the material, but rather you guys listening to come up with the material.
That's true. Yeah, but no, I think that we have a lot of material. Besides, there are a lot of mods that they may be old, but they shouldn't be forgotten, because they are very good, and it's always nice to not only to talk about the newest release, but also about old ones that are very good.
Yeah,
I like Gaius Octavius's comment here. Maybe there is something to the old stereotype that all polytoners are communists.
Where is that? I want to see that.
That's at the bottom of the page there.
That guy, he's a character.
Yes, it is true. We are all communists.
Well, I'm not a communist. You're a communist.
Oh, you're just a closet communist. Come on.
No, I'm a closet anarchist.
Oop. Oh, okay. Well, close enough.
I can be considered a communist by some Americans.
Well, you're from Europe. Of course, you're automatically a communist, you know?
He's Argentinian.
By American standards, anyone who's not American is a communist. That or a terrorist.
Yeah.
Of course.
We're also friends of Chavez, so...
Yeah, I mean, come on, you're from Latin America and you're automatically communist.
Yeah. Now with Hugo Chavez and all that thing is... Okay, you're all communists.
Yeah. Ball Lightning from Civ United says, good to see that modding is getting its own podcast. I hope all goes well. We're glad to see it too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's about it for my mailbag.
Yep.
We'll give you some contact numbers to call us, to email us, to Skype us. There's so many ways to get hold of us. You should definitely contact us, and we will read your mailbag. You will be special for 15 minutes of fame.
Or perhaps 2 minutes.
But it's still fame. Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY. You can Skype us at The Polycast or email us at polycast@apolitan.net.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on ModCast, our sibling show Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at polycast.apolitan.net. Yes, yes. It was a lot of good stuff today for our second official episode.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of good artwork and submissions. Lots of very bad accents, at least for my part. And can you smell funny?
As do you, Tony.
Oh, I know it. Wouter, you smell good.
Nathan, he's European.
They have good colognes.
Oh, okay.
That's where they made up the word cologne.
No, I'm pretty sure that's an English word.
Wasn't there a place called Cologne?
In English, it's called that, yes.
Oh.
We call it Köln.
What?
Köln.
Oh, I don't think I could say that. I thought it was Cologne or something.
No, nothing like that.
We are done for the day.
We are done, and we're going to say goodbye. Please send your feedback, and make sure to catch our next show, which would be in another 2 weeks. And don't also forget to miss Polycast, which is on too next week.
Don't forget to miss it? I mean, wait a minute. That sounded wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm editing all that out because Dan would really hurt me. Don't forget to listen to Polycast, which will be on next week. That joke's just not going to make it in. And so today we've been joined by Wouter Lacutus Snyders.
Bye-bye.
Oscar Elohim Velzi.
Adios, adios.
Kenneth Impaler WRG Furland.
Escape key, escape key, escape key.
And me, Tony Garrettson Zaka Keel. Have a good day and remember to make more mods. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Goodbye.
Record date.
January 20th, 2008.
Sound clips copyright Civilization 4 and the Warlords and Beyond the Sword expansion packs. Copyright 2008, Apolitan Civilization site at apolitan.net.